Bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, we ask tonight that we be surprised by how near to us your word has come, by how it is indeed for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I hope our celebration of this Advent and Christmas season has been meaningful for you this year. In all the special music, and the prayers, and the preaching, and all these visual symbols, and all the extra avenues of giving good gifts together, I hope there have been good connections for you between the Christmas gospel and the realities of your life. I hope that, most of all, because the Christmas gospel ought to have application in the real lives we're living. The Christmas story tells how God's love comes down to where we live. Our celebrations should be beautiful, but not so beautiful that they cease to be connected with our real lives. That's one reason that we here don't do the more spectacular forms of Christmas pageantry. More and more churches in recent years have been staging elaborate and highly theatrical Christmas extravaganzas. Maybe you've been to some. I was amazed at an ad I saw recently from a big church in Texas advertising their annual big Christmas production. The ad said, quote, "There will be something spectacular for all ages, including ice skaters, flying angels, skiers, chipmunks, and a live nativity. This year's pageant will give you a perspective of what Christmas is really about." Now, I bet that production gave thousands of people a thrill, but I'll bet it didn't give many people a perspective of what Christmas is really about. What Christmas is about is the opposite of the spectacular for all ages. Christmas is about God coming down into the unspectacular, the ordinary, the unimpressive, all that we think of as plain and absolutely common to our eyes. And to our ears, the Christmas story may seem strange and exotic, full of almost otherworldly mystique. But we have to understand that when the Christmas story was written, it didn't sound exotic and strange to those who heard it and read it. It was full of ordinary places, ordinary people that everybody knew about. How does the story start? Luke starts his Christmas story with some words about what the emperor was doing in those days and who the governor of Syria was. Caesar Augustus had passed a new tax law, and the governor of Syria was named Quirinius. Now to us, those names sound like they're out of an old play. But to people back then, those were the familiar names. When Luke starts his story that way, he's locating the birth of Jesus in the coordinates of ordinary time and commonly known current events. The thing is, if this story's claiming that this baby is the Son of God, there's something almost scandalous about saying it was during a particular time, in this regular place, on this ordinary day in history. To give you a sense of how scandalous it might have sounded, try hearing the Christmas story this way. When Donald Trump was president, and Asa Hutchinson was governor of Arkansas, and Frank Scott had recently been elected mayor of Little Rock, a couple of kids from St. Louis, Jim and Beth, newlyweds, caught a bus to Little Rock, and went on through Little Rock and stopped in this small town of Smackover, Arkansas. Beth was pregnant, and not long after the bus dropped them off, she went into labor, hard and fast, and it was the middle of the night with nobody there. She ended up having the baby behind a gas station that was closed. There was a dumpster back there. Jim found some corrugated boxes inside and pulled one out, put his hoodie inside, and they laid that baby on a hoodie in a corrugated box. Not too far away, two truckers were driving down Highway 167 and pulled into a truck stop for some coffee. Over by the diesel pump, they saw a stranger standing in a very bright light. And he called to the truckers, "Hey, great news, a baby has been born in Smackover, and he's the Messiah. He's the Savior for the whole world, and you will find him behind a gas station, lying on a hoodie in a corrugated box." You see these names: Caesar Augustus, Quirinius, Nazareth, Bethlehem, shepherds, manger. They were just as common and as real and as absolutely plain to their ears as Donald Trump, Asa Hutchinson, Frank Scott, St. Louis, Smackover, truckers, gas stations, and corrugated boxes are to our ears. Part of the Christmas story means to do when it gives the details surrounding Jesus' birth is to say, this is real. This isn't one of those once upon a time, out there kind of stories. This is what occurred at a definite time, in a particular place, among people who are real and just like you and me. That's part of the scandal of the Christmas message. You see, our message is not a doctrine. Our message is not a religious way of life. Our message is that God actually showed up in history. What Luke is trying to tell us is that the eternal, holy God meets us in the most ordinary furniture of our lives, in the most common circumstances, in the most unremarkable days and nights. Many of us haven't really grasped this. I think many of us assume that the real meaning of life is to be found in the extraordinary event. When most of us think of ourselves with God, we want to think about extraordinary encounters that perhaps we once had, or perhaps one day we hope to have. When people give testimonies of faith, they often tell of a mountaintop experience, or they tell of a horrible crisis in which God was wonderfully present. And it's true that human life has its peaks and has its pits. And thankfully, it's true that God meets us on the peak and God meets us in the pit. Problem is, most of us don't spend most of our lives way up there or way down there. We spend most of our lives right here, in the realm of the rut, in the long, ordinary days when we're not flying and we're not dying, we're just walking through. Same old places, faces, feelings, tasks. We all know that when times are extraordinarily good or extraordinarily bad, God can be found. But what about those of us who are living, as someone said, in the prolonged redundancy of ordinariness? I think Christmas helps us with this. The news of the day is that God in the Christ child has come to live with us in our ordinary lives. In the birth of Jesus, we discover how God came down from the extraordinary heavens and meets us quietly in small things, familiar things, ordinary feelings and faces, the most common human experience. So God is in your kitchen now. God is in your kitchen every day. And God is in every meal that you take. And Christ is living in every face that you see. And every conversation you have can be a conversation with Christ. This is the Christmas news. This is the season for remembering that any old feed trough in any old corrugated box can cradle something holy. The Eternal One became the little one, the one who married, laid in a manger, and is with you now where you are and will be with you wherever you go, in every room you enter, every conversation you have, every moment of what you feel. God is already there. So open yourself to this God and see how your ordinary experience can be filled up with God's extraordinary presence. Merry Christmas. Amen.